Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Bernice Seminole, Northern Arapaho, here to introduce Chinupa Gluhamani of South Dakota, a strong advocate for the Native Americans around the country who have been struggling to overcome the injustice done to Native Americans and to their reservations. Chinupa, co-host for Block Talk Radio, Shedding Light, will open with a prayer and close with a song. So this evening, Chinupa is doing a human rights rally somewhere down in Nebraska, I believe. And Devin Ullman is supposed to call in and co-host, and nobody has called in yet. So I just want to kind of try to fill some gaps in and try to, you know, like a filler. So is there anybody out there that would like to call in and join our guest line? The area code is 657-383-1630. Again, the guest line is area code 657-383-1630. So anyway, what we were talking about last night, they were going to continue and no callers. And I don't know what to do. So we're waiting for guests to call in. Usually Jenny Manyhides calls in, Lanny calls in, Bryce calls in, different ones from around the country. Grandmother Etta from New Mexico, she calls in. So hopefully everybody will call in here pretty quick because I'm at a loss for words or topics since I only open the show and close it. So I hope there's people out there in the audience that's willing to call in and share some of the things that go on their reservation. The area code to call in for the guest line is area code 657-383-1630. Again, the guest line is area code 657-383-1630. We have a caller coming on. Caller 406, could you state your name, please?
Yes, 406. This must be me. This is Jenny Manyhides calling in from the Blackfeet Reservation located in northwest Montana.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Thank you for calling in. You're the first caller. I don't know where Devin is at. I inboxed him and told him he had to call in and no answer. So I don't know what's going on here. So I guess we just...
No other callers, huh?
No, you're the only one.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about? What were we talking about yesterday? Do you remember?
A lot of everything.
Mm. Oh, here we go. I think Bryce or Lanny is calling in. 1440? Is that Bryce or Lanny?
Oh, that's Bryce.
Hi, Bryce. Glad you called in. Could you open with a prayer, please? Bryce.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't catch that. You just...
Could you say a prayer for us to open?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I can say a little check on.
Okay.
Oh, I can't take Tunkashila. I hit on Lech Dadiki, Uratiki, Yuashdena, Yuaka, Hitchison, La. I can't take Tupa, Tunkashila, hit on Lewanushila, Naokia, Nawachitanka, Nawichuzani, Bachwala, Naoksap, and Nawakota, Hitchison. Lapland Betiki, which I shall now wear, Tate Tesa, Unusion, cheap low, and Dark Wash Station, hey, on Chimpsney. And now we choke Kuzakile, and Umtak, hey, wash ticket, and La Valale, Tatiki. Now, gee, in Namakaka, the Wupila Tanka, the Dark Oya, Ichaki, the Juta, Namakaska, Oniaka, the Minuichonikile. Upila, Wakantaka, Nietaglia Yakar, and Aglia Nitraj, a Upila, Chichele, Fatiki, Matantena, Kachina, Narion Trampikile, Nietia Ruya, Nietia Daculapikile, which Hosani, Downeon Chipelo, Tuana, Tioshman Trampikile, Ah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that prayer. Now, Devin Oldman was supposed to come and co-host, but he hasn't called in. And I inboxed him and told him the show is on now and gave him the phone number, but he's not calling in right now. So I don't know what the deal is. So if you guys just want to start talking about, you know, pick up where you left off yesterday, that'd be great.
Yeah, Lenny could go ahead if Lenny's on, whoever's on.
No, it's just you and Jenny.
Oh, okay. Well, I know Devin from that 1868 Fort Laramie when they had the 105th commemoration. I knew him before that. He was a tipple for his tribe.
Yeah.
And, he really is an asset to that tribe.
He is.
In front of his federal agencies on, you know, holding them to their own laws that they violate, you know, they violate their own rules. Indigenous people weren't there to protect the land, protect life on that land, then these industries would have a carte blanche, like what Trump did, opened up all these public lands and treaty lands for archaic energies that we need to really reevaluate the energy system here in America, because other countries have converted to renewables, which means, you know, there might be some problems, but which means the air and the pollution that these oil, coal industries never told the truth on, even though they put this out there. They had a report that in their report that they recognized the pollution that it was going to cause, but they never made that public. You know, now the public is living with the toxic environment that the people need to deal with. Every nation is doing that. I heard a report that 25% of the energy is used by America, and then that pollution drops down around the equator in South America and helps melt some of that glacier ice, just like there's Glacier Lake up there in Montana, you know, pure water. So that is a direct threat to life on this planet when you're just carte blanche, just doing whatever you want to the water. I'm glad that this fight for the XL pipeline was stopped, and not as DAPL also, you know. So maybe those industries could start looking at growing hemp, you know, and being part of a solution instead of a continued problem that they themselves would go bankrupt cleaning it up. So then again, they throw it back on the taxpayer who, you know, would have to flip the bill for cleanup. You know, the evidence is all there that they're just manicuring. They're just like on the Kalamazoo River, about 30 miles and they just manicured it, you know. They didn't solve the problem of oil and done leaking into the rivers. That was the main concern of Ocheti Shah going up there and Standing Rock during that battle with Kelsey Warren, and when Obama said they need an environmental impact statement done, the Corps of Engineers was dropped the ball again, you know. They were going by environmental assessment, and that's how they're allowing DAPL and Keystone to get their projects through. But the environmental impact statement, it will show that we need to start looking at a different energy. Oh, I think that's a big topic, and that's some current event, current news. Awupila.
Thank you. We've got area code 307 on. You want to come on and say your name, tribal affiliation, state you're calling from?
Hey, this is Devin.
Hi, Devin.
Yeah, hello. I'm calling from, I'm Northern Arapaho, calling from North Dakota.
Well, welcome to the show.
I was just bagging you up, Devin. This is Bryce Inwoods.
Can you hear us, Devin?
Oh, sorry, the phone got a little blotchy there for a second. Did you say you're bragging me up, Bryce?
Yeah, I was really bragging you up about being a frontline warrior, you know, against these federal agencies that are always dropping the ball, and the tribes have to make them stand by the rules, you know, obey your own rules.
Yeah. Hey, did you know I resigned from that a while ago?
Yeah, I heard that. Steve was telling me about that.
Yeah, I know. God dang tribe, man. Been getting. Was messing with me and my family, man, so I had to just say screw it and, you know, end up walking away, which was really bad for me because, you know, I enjoyed what I did. I felt like I made a difference on all levels and all aspects, you know, and, I mean, it just, when people get greedy, you know, I mean, it poisons their heart, and unfortunately for me, that's what happened. You know, all those people got greedy and they started attacking my character, you know, and weird things start happening in my life, you know, like with spiritual stuff, and it just wasn't, you know, just wasn't in my cards anymore. So I had to, you know, lay my commitment down that I made, you know, and walk away. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happened there, you know, and it really was a hard decision for me to make, because I know I made a lot of, you know, close relatives, met new relatives along the road, you know, the journey. And a lot of them told me they were really sad when I, you know, walked away and, you know, gave that back, you know, to the tribe. And I mean, it's just no good, you know, that things get like that sometimes, you know. And I mean, that's where I was at that moment in time, you know. And it took me a long, long time, man, to find myself again, you know, to find my spirit, you know, because people I trusted, you know, people I grew to love, you know, they turned their backs on me, they betrayed me, they hurt me, you know, and I just had a hard time there for a long, you know, long while, almost about a whole year, man, you know, and I prayed all the time, smoked my pipe, went, you know, and hung out with my daughters, you know, and rode horses, all that stuff, you know, walked by the river, went outside, you know, and did nothing, just a dad, you know, and I mean, I finally found my center again, you know, and I got a vision now, you know, I had a vision, I have a goal now, what I need to do, you know, and so I'm not nobody special, you know, I don't think that, you know, I'm the chosen one, you know, but I do know I have a purpose, you know, and that purpose for about 5 years of my life was what I was doing with the federal regulations and the federal agencies, you know, holding them accountable with regard to land making, land management, and, you know, regulation decision processes to federal lands along with state lands and some private lands. That was my job, right, for a little bit. But now I have another job, you know, and I know what that is, you know, and I'm glad to hear from you, man. You know, it's been a long time. I always thought about you, you know, prayed for you sometimes too. I was like, man, I wonder how Bryce is doing. That's the only dude that I ever talked to, you know, from most of the Lakota tribes besides the traditional ones, you know, that weren't at the meetings with us, you know. He's the only guy I met in one of those chambers with them feds, got it, who understood, you know, and like, yeah, it was good to talk to you again, you know.
Yeah, I brought up a couple of times a comparison to these IRE governments, you know, these rubber stamp governments of Uncle Sammy and to the traditional government. And that the traditional government is more accountable because you recognize the Creator first, and whichever sacred gift that was given to us, we respect that. But it seems like nowadays these IRE governments, I'll give you an example, current, just not too long ago, there were 7 council reps from here, from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, you know, we're not even that, but that's the rubber stamping of Uncle Sammy naming us Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. The river that runs here is called the Good River, Wakbawashte. That's the real name, you know, the Good River. But again, the manipulation that these council elected officials who aren't well steeped in anything, really, you know. So if you look at their background, you can't call them leaders, you know. You can't call them traditional leaders because they don't speak the language. They don't know the culture. They don't understand the battle that our grandfathers fought, you know, and we're still hanging on to that because the Creator endowed us with that. And that's what we have to stand with. But these 7 council reps, they went and negotiated. They tried to negotiate with Keystone XL in Rapid City. And then it came out. That happened. Some young activist in the fight for, you know, the DAPO Keystone. So I sent them. He said he knew who they were, so I texted initials to them. So that went out public, and they had a march and everything, so they exposed those guys. And then those guys started backpedaling and, you know, backpedaling. But I heard them because, you know, I'm just the 4th term on IRE, and we're going back into our traditional government, which never left us. It's always been here. So these guys kind of backpedaled, and, you know, the 3 of them got voted out, which is good because they were saying this is going through anyway, and we need to get something out of it. You know, we need to get some monies out of it or something for themselves. So that was exposed, you know. So now with Biden erasing that pipeline, you know, revoking that permit, man, you know, it comes to what we were saying on the treaty and standing that this is going to, you know, this needs to end, and it did. But the battle's not over, you know. This is kind of some of the victories that, like the Yakima up there, and the Crow and Muskogee Creek, those three Supreme Court rulings, man, it's unheard of, you know. Those are recognitions that we need to stand on in our traditional government. So that was kind of the stuff I brought out, was comparing these IRA governments compared to traditional government, you know, and then the corruption in the federal, state, and tribal governments too, you know, that it just hurts the people when you have corrupted officials, you know. Yeah. I don't have to mention Trump because I think everybody knew how these 4 years been with him, you know. He just started to try to create the 4th Reich here in America, you know. That our grandfathers, our fathers and grandfathers fought in that World War II and were code talkers, you know. We outwin that battle, you know. So I don't think they should be flying that Nazi flag or that Confederate flag here in America, man. To me, it's treasonous if you really look at it. But that's the element that kind of controls the state governments and federal governments, the judges, you know, because they all wear a hood. But there's no secret society anymore, so we need to have parity and equality and justice here, you know. So that needs wisdom and truth to have real justice here in our country, in our land. This is our land, you know. We need that equality. We need that wisdom and justice and the truth will always prevail, you know. So I'm glad our tribe and our nations are having these victories, you know, because that means a lot. Our elders express that too. Our elders are saying, get that word out to everybody, because not everybody knows, you know. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Good to hear you, man.
Yeah, and okay. The terrible thing about it is with the topic we're talking on, you know, is the jurisprudence, right, of legislative bodies for, you know, extractive industries, you know, construction industries, you know, rehabilitative, you know, services with regards to, you know, updating roads, pipelines, you know, public utilities commissions like telephone lines, you know, cell towers, all of those things, right? One of the things that I learned with, you know, was that when the government decides that it's going to permit a project, whatever it may be, you have four municipalities, right? You have the tribal governments, which oversee, and they supersede in some essence form the feds on the reservation, you know, with regards to allotments, you know, allotted lands, tribal privately owned lands that are owned in trust by the tribe, right? And then you got the other district on the reservation, which is the Bureau of Indian Affairs land, right? And so then on the flip side, you have the federal government, which is all federal lands. You know, you got your park services, you got your forest service, you have your national grasslands, your national forests, you know, your wildlife heritage areas, you know, your wildlife areas, all these things that are designated for, you know, species, flora, fauna. Then they also have the state lands, which are, you know, held by states specifically, you know, all 50 states and the three contiguous U.S. territories throughout the, you know, the northern hemisphere, right, or the western hemisphere, I should say. And then you also have in there municipal zones, which are, you know, subcompartments of state land. You know, and the terrible thing about all this stuff, right, is with IRA governments, is you have us as independent nations, well, dependent nations now, prior to 1877, we were independent nations, right? And that's why in 1868 they made a treaty, you know, with all the tribes throughout the Great Plains and, you know, Rocky Mountain region. They made treaties, I should say. And, you know, those treaties are still what uphold the fracture in the fabrics of legislative society throughout America, you know, with regards to precedents and jurisprudence of courts, you know, districts, circuits, whatever, county courts. And when you have Indian Reorganization Act government set up on reservation lands, they could do so much with regards to making – not necessarily making it, requiring the federal, state, and municipal governments to take into account the effects that they have when they're making and allowing the permits to go through for these corporations, sometimes that aren't even American corporations, right? They could be a foreign corporation from Canada, a corporation from Mexico, a corporation from Russia, right, who have interests tied in America. So they don't allow for the public comment, but 30, 60 days. And sometimes those public comments aren't even taken into consideration, right? And so when you have those decisions being made that are going to affect the vast majority of the people who are in the area that they're permitting, the government, they totally forget about the people in the area, you know, whether they're tribal, whether they're non-tribal, right? Because I'm a human being, you know, and we're all human beings, right? We've been placed in this melting pot of racism, injustice, inequality, right? Overreach of federal and state governments on Native Americans, you know, alike. And we lose in the, you know, the big straw of things. You look at the straw when it's sucking from the cup in the water, right? We lose. We only get a couple dribbles, right? And the reason that's set up that way is to keep us oppressed, to keep us crime infested, right? And the problem with IRA governments is they believe that the solution to that is to create social programs, right? Your Department of Family Services, your drug and, you know, alcohol abuse counseling services, you know, your IRS government, you know, not your IRS, your IHS, right? And the problem with those things is they're not even really a solution to the problem. They're more like a Band-Aid, right? Whereas if you look at the real solution to the problem, it has always been us, humans, on an individual and collective level, right? Because if natives on the reservation, right, let's put it this way, if our people on the reservation, mine specifically Wind River, right? Right now we have a very, very high suicide problem. We have a very, very high homicide problem. We have a very, very high, you know, drug abuse and alcohol problem. You know, it's like that on every reservation. But right now it's the highest it's been in a long, long time. Or yeah, I would say in the history of our reservation, which is about, I don't know, 150 years, something like that. And so if you look at the real solution, what the real solution is, and by life I mean the freedom to choose where you want to live, the freedom to choose where you want to build, the freedom to be able to take your food and harvest your food along with grow your food by your own means, to make your own clothing, you know, to provide your own transportation, to have horses, to, you know, whatever, create your own economic fund or economic zone or whatever you want to call it, to be independent, right? And on the reservations right now, what we're bred to do and born to do and to, you know, to, I guess you could say, educated to do is to get a degree, you know, go to school, get a degree, put yourself into debt, you know, $20,000-$30,000, and then move back home and get a job at one of these social programs, right? And so then you're furthering the issue, you're furthering the problem, because you were never taught how to grow, how to have agricultural knowledge, provide for yourself as a human being. You were never taught how to hunt. You were never taught how to make medicine, how to collect, you know, food along the rivers and along the plains, along the, you know, the mountains, whatever, wherever you can get it. You know, the medicines, all those things, they fit into that. Right. And that's the problem with the Indian Reorganization Act structure is it teaches people to be dependent, you know, from the day one. And when you turn and you look at all these other nations, right, all these other states that are ran by corporate America, right, you can start seeing the effects on the native peoples. They're getting just like we are. Right. And if you look at the future of America, I always tell people that they like to call me crazy. Right. But I always tell people, you want to see the future of America, you know, your future of your mass populated cities, you know, your 500K programs, you know, your 500 corporate American programs. You want to look at the future of all those things? You go to a reservation. That's the future of America, because we all just got your per caps this year. Right. And now that's the crazy thing that people aren't starting to see. Was the goal of this whole COVID thing was to make America poorer, so that way corporate America, along with the World Economic Forum of the United Nations, could come in and start industrializing a lot of these lands that we own. They could start killing the wealth of the gross domestic product for states, for tribes, for feds, whatever, per populace, right, per capita, per individual. What that means is, right now, I think the U.S.'s GDP, well, last year, I think it was like the gross domestic product was somewhere around $1 trillion. You know, you look at it right now, it's probably not even a quarter of that, right? And so that has always been the goal of these secret societies, was to make America broke, so that way they can come in and they can take over on all the lands that we have, right? And that's always been the goal of the federal government. People don't understand that, which is to take the freedoms that we all have right now, whether you're American, whether you're Native American, whether you're Mexican, whatever, and put it back in the hands of people that we will never meet, that we'll never even see, who make decisions on our freedoms from an office that's over, you know, 300, 400 miles, you know, from us, or, you know, on the other side of the world, right? And that's the real scary part of what we're going through right now in this country, you know, and the spiritual side of that, right, is you have people who don't know anything about themselves. You know, they don't know how to read their body whenever their body's going through something, you know, spiritually. They don't know how to cleanse themselves, you know, whenever you're carrying bad energy, you know, whenever you're exposed to bad energy, right? And that's the thing, you know, it's a spiritual war. You know, it's been going on for 1,000 years. You know, you mentioned the Fourth Reich. You know, I believe, you know, there's a 1,000-year Reich, you know, and that 1,000-year Reich started way back in the Macedonia and Athens days, right, with the Roman Catholics and, you know, the Catholic Church and all these things, you know, and that's who streamlined the education system in America, right? If you want to know the truth of the world, you go to the Smithsonian. They'll show you everything. They ain't ashamed of it. They ain't ashamed of all the history they have there. That you go to these universities. You want to know the real truth of your state? You go to your university that first started there back in the 1900s and the late 1800s. And you'll find the truth of America. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll get to read those excerpts from the judges, their journal notes. You know, you'll get to read the excerpts from the military commanders, the fort people, right? All these soldiers, even all the way down to the lawyers that were here, you know, and the sheriffs, they all took extensive notes and journals, and they all wrote that stuff down, right? And you'll be, you know, once you sort through at least 1,000 of those things, read those pages, you know, you can start seeing the meaning of life, which was for us as Native Americans to live with respect, to live with love, to live with honor, to live with courage, you know, dignity, all the virtues of life that we all lack on the mass level right now, you know, and who suffers the most from these things, you know, what's the core of these problems that are going to affect the future, right? Is the children. The children will always suffer the most on a magnitude of levels. You know, the children will be born into a world that has these problems, and when these problems come up while they digress into the future, right? Then these problems will multiply even more, and they'll give them to their children. And that's what's been happening ever since, you know, the late 1800s, the Great Depression, you know, the housing crisis, you know, the government shutdowns, you know, all these things that happened, they're all just part of the plan. And, you know, and that's to take from the human soul, to take from the human spirit, you know, to strip us of our ability to see the truth of the land. You know, I mean, a good example I like to use, you know, was in 1868 when they went to Fort Laramie, you know, over in today, which is, you know, Wyoming. And some people dispute it on the federal government side of the Park Service, you know, the historians that went through all the paperwork, they dispute it, and they say it was in Nebraska somewhere, right? We'll probably never know the truth of where it was, you know, because that's just how the government does things, right? But the example I like to use is when the tribes all went there. Deschmet, there's a man by the name of Father Deschmet, and I believe he was a Jesuit priest. And that same day when all these leaders signed, you know, that the last day all the leaders had gathered, you know, and they all got done signing the treaties, you know, and they had their council lodges, they smoked, you know, they prayed with the white men there, the military commanders, the fort people, the federal government people, you know, they prayed with all of them, they did their thing, right? They negotiated the terms of the treaty. That same day they all finished, that Father Deschmet had 2,000 tribal children baptized at the treaty grounds. 2,000, right? And that's just how vast and how fast the system moves, right? Our people gathered there with good intentions of having peace, you know, and trust and truth, right? Because we have an ancient understanding of those things, and it goes back to the creation of time, right? The reason we carry our pipes, the reason we carry our articles along with our medicine, right? And they assumed that the white man had honor because he had offered to sit down with us in a time of war to negotiate those things, right? And that's how fast it went. They took our children and baptized in that same day. Think of that, right? That was their plan they had all along, which was the children. They knew that the future of any nation was always its children. And it is. It truly is. If our children were taught today the things that our ancestors were taught 200 years ago, you would see all those statistics and all those demographics that are negative on tribal levels, you know, and even levels of urban natives, you know, that live in cities decline, right? Because those statistics follow natives off the reservation, too. They go into the cities. Right, and they go into the places they live in the urban areas, right, with them, because that's what was given to us, you know, through the boarding school era, through the reservation era, you know, even pre-reservation era. That's what the white man was giving us. They gave us race. They gave us sexual assault. They gave us domestic violence. They gave us addiction, right? They gave us confusion on a level of individuality with regard to one's identity, spiritually, physically, and mentally, right? And so when you look at all this stuff, that's what's occurring and what has occurred through the history and even till now, right? This vaccine is just another form of trauma that's given to all the children, that's going to be given to all the children. And they say protect the elders, you know. I believe in that too, but I mean, I already know what this vaccine was, you know, and it's crazy that so many people are frightened of it and they're afraid of it, you know, and they're even scared to go outside, you know. I mean, that's just furthering the goal of the deletion of oneself along with one's culture and identity, you know. Places us all in that same boat of fear, you know, because our people weren't afraid of anything. You know, we might have had respect for certain things that could harm us. We might have had respect for, you know, the unknown. But at the same time, we weren't fearful people. We understood in our hearts and in our minds that our Creator, the Creator of all things, would provide for us and He would protect us. And our Mother Earth would protect us too. And all her creations would be here for us to pray with, to use in times of need. You see, and so we don't even do that no more. Right, on a majority level, on a mass level, Native Americans, you know, whether you're Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, Arapaho, Cheyenne, Blackfoot, you know, all the way down to the southern border of America, even the east and the west coast. You know, a lot of people don't do that. And if you look at it, maybe a finger on the two hands that we have, with regards to proportion, do. Right? And they're the ones that are usually the most porous. You know, who speaks for them? You know?
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it, you know, and that day of the treaty signings, there was 27 wagons. There was an account of 27 wagons coming to our people on that day. Right?
Sorry to interrupt.
When they arrived,
Devin, sorry to interrupt, but there's a lot of background noise coming in from somewhere. Could you either mute your phone or...
Yeah, I hear it too.
Yeah, it's interfering with your talking. Okay, you can continue. Thank you.
Probably the government kicking in on some stuff and creating some static. Nah, but on that day, right, back to what I was talking about, 27 wagons. You know, picture this in your mind, wagons. You know, they're about the same size of a car, you know, a small car, about, you know, 8-10 feet in height. You know, they have a little cloth around the outside, you know, all the good stuff. Got the guy in the front, the little, you know, the little halters, you know, with the horses and the mules or whatever they were pushing, you know, pulling them along the way. 27 wagons, right? Which today in comparison, that's about maybe two semis full, you know, two cargo trucks, right? The big rigs you see on the interstates pulling stuff. Two trailers full of tools of survival, I guess you could say. They had canvas tents. They had wood furnaces, you know, wood stoves. They had blankets that were infected with, you know, diseases. They had clothes, you know, wool shirts, wool pants, you know, wool socks. You know, they had shoes. They had all these things, you know, cookware, you know, utensils, you know, things like that. Because, you know, they assumed that we were savages, that we didn't know how to provide for ourselves, right? And so you think about that on a psychological level for all the people that were there, right? We had just gathered, you know, to do what I spoke of earlier with regard to the treaty. And here comes the government guys handing out all these things to our people. Right? What were they doing? They were creating dependence. And they were also trying to kill us off because a lot of those people, a lot of the things that they got were infested with diseases from people in the South, right? They had all these diseases like, you know, the cabin fever, you know, some of the polio, you know, the mumps, the measles, all those things, right? And they were hoping that we would all be killed off in this. And a lot of us died from those things, right, after the treaty. They don't talk about this in history, but it's known, right? And when they gave us these things, what do you think the leaders said, right? Well, what do you think they were doing? They were creating treaty chiefs. They were creating hang-around-the-fort Indians. And I don't mean that in no disrespect. This is the truth, right? Because if you give a man clothes, you give a man a canvas tent, you give a man, what's he going to do if all he's known his whole life was to go hunt, was to provide for his woman, was to provide for his children, so she may be that homemaker for the future generations, right? And you give him alcohol. What are you going to do to that man? You're going to corrupt his heart. You're going to corrupt his soul. You're going to corrupt his spirit. You're going to corrupt everything inside of him that was ever given to him that was good. And that's exactly what they did. So that's where it started. And that's what I believe led to the giving of our children to the boarding schools. You know, there's accounts on my reservation where I'm from where that when they gave kids to the boarding schools, there was parents that drank themselves to death the same week, drank themselves to death the same year. Kids came home, they had no parents or orphans. See, and so they did a great job at destroying our livelihood with regards to ancient practices and knowledge, right? Because they turned all of our people, you know, sad. They turned all of us from being and understanding the good things in life that the Creator gave us from a long, long time ago into not knowing who we are anymore and just being depressed, you know, when the only thing we could turn to was alcohol, right? And so that's why I speak, you know, whenever I talk with people, you know, wherever I go, I always try to tell people to remain sober, you know, just stop drinking, stop doing drugs. You know, I have a hard time with the youth, you know, because they that's all they have now. And it was the drinking and the drugging, you know. And I take a couple of, you know, young men back home and, you know, take them out riding horses, go take them fishing, you know, take them hunting and stuff out of season. You know, I don't even care. But if a tribal game warden wanted to stop me and tell me that I can't provide for my family or, you know, live my life and be who I am as an individual human being, right, with my human rights and even my treaty rights, you know, I'm willing to take that loss and, you know, that infraction to the highest level of court in the, you know, the nation. You know, that's, to me, I think a lot of people need to stop being that way. You know, there's not very many people like that in the world today, you know, and I feel like that's what is the problem, you know, with the society we live in today. You know, if you have an area where, you know, one person violates a law, whether it's federal, state, or public, the government's gonna come down on them hard, and they're gonna crack down, and they're gonna give them the highest penalty. They're gonna give them the highest fine, you know. And it's gonna, I guess you could say, discourage others from committing that same crime. Whereas if you have 300 people, what happens then? Right? What happens then? You know, that's what I urge people to think about all the time. You know, is the real way that we become free is not by obeying. It's not by turning the other cheek, not by preaching peace. No, it's not that. We've tried that for 150 years, and it didn't work. It's still not working. The way that we create change on a local level and even on a national level is we start breaking laws. Not necessarily the laws that are put in place to protect people. I'm saying the laws that prevent us from being human beings. And if that rings a bell, doesn't ring a bell, maybe people should look at their hearts. I mean, think about something that prevents you from being a human, that makes you feel like you're being controlled, in essence. There's a small thing, there's a small split second in your mind when you hear something or you observe something or you interact with something that makes you question it. It's like a snap of a finger. You question it. And you're like, why is it like this? You know, and a lot of us have been trained to quiet that down, to say, oh, it's, you know, it's supposed to be like, oh, this is the way they said it, you know, and that's your conscience. Right? And your conscience knows when something is wrong. If your conscience knows in your heart and all those things I'm talking about, it knows when you disagree with something at the core of your being. Right? And that's what people need to start listening to. You know, and that's about all I have to say. You know, we start focusing on ourselves and how we can change, you know, the system that we live in, you know, because it goes far, you know, far further than, you know, the pipelines and the oil stuff, you know, natural extractive industries. That's going to affect us, you know, in ways that we don't understand. But I'm talking about the ways we can understand right now, and that's each and every one of ourselves and the people that are around us, you know, our family members, our loved ones, you know, the people we care about, you know, because we all have to start thinking consciously with regards to our spirit and with regards to ourselves and with regards to our nation, because we are a nation, are we not? You know, if the government would have succeeded in removing the Native Americans from the land of the first peoples that are here, none of us would be here. You know, I wouldn't be able to speak my language. I wouldn't be able to pray with my pipe. You know, I wouldn't be able to to go to Sundance, you know, and participate or watch on there or help people there, you know, and that's the beautiful thing, you know, is we still have those ways intact, you know, and that's just one aspect though, you know, that's the ceremony part, you know, and one thing I've noticed over the years is that even gets abused too, you know, and that's the problem with the world, you know, is we've been taught to commit blasphemy, I guess you could call it that, on a day-to-day level, because it was taught to us by priests and nuns, and it was taught to us by teachers, right, and doctors, and the people that we all had to interact with that we knew nothing about at young ages because we were forced to do so by the government on behalf of our parents. So that's right. Just something to think about, you know.
Yeah, Devin, I'd kind of like to add on to what you're saying because you're hitting all these points, you know. You're covering all those bases, and our tribal leadership, if we ever get back to traditional council, that they represent all our elders. First of all, you have to honor all our elders, and then, like what you're saying, you have to protect the children. Because they're still continuing to do that, you know. Their mission is to make us into white men that forget our life ways. So, like, I'm going to get 2 points, is that here on the ground, on this reservation, we want to reintroduce our buffalo back into the districts and communities for a spiritual reason, spiritual awakening. And we want to protect the beaver. Because we put it off the fur bear because we want to do a population count. But South Dakota, so if you're non, you know, you're a white guy here on the reservation, you can trap 1,000 beavers, and South Dakota says it's okay. But no, that's a keystone species. We have to protect the beaver here. And the other one is the prairie dog. They're indiscriminately poisoning it. So when you poison that prairie dog, and you have council representatives speaking like county commissioners, you know, that's what I kind of refer an elected official that represents Lakota people in the IRE tribal government. They act like white county commissioners in their behavior, in their reasoning, in their judgment. Nothing about being Lakota. That is a major problem. So the comparison between a protection of species here to regenerate the soil and for our people to regenerate our soul. We have to do that. And we should be all aboard on this, you know. So right now our movement here, we have 4 bands, the Two Kettle, the Minikoju, the Siasapa, Itazapchola. And we have our keeper of our sacred tap pipe here. So now we're activating and initiating the movement here through the Elders Council, that we have a map that shows what you're saying about these treaties. And they have a map that represents the IRA government, which represents these man-made reservations. And during that period of 1871 all the way up to 1934, it's been a one unilateral taking. You know, so even though the roots of this Constitution, Bill of Rights, is based off the Iroquois Confederacy, they based this U.S. Constitution off that, and that concurrent resolution 76 recognizes that this country's document, Constitution, is based off the indigenous tree of peace, the way that the Iroquois govern their confederacy, just the same as the Arapaho, Navajo, all the nations here governed ourselves in what they call Metaku Oyasi. So that's, we're all related. We're all related. That concept has to be understood because that's a universal concept. So we're going back into a traditional government now. And all the authorities that were given to us, these endowed authorities from the Creator. That's where you're talking, you're hitting all these points where we've been brainwashed, we've been assimilated, colonized, so now we, we drink beer and you know, dancing country style or, you know, or whatever. And that's our culture to some of the people here, because they don't have a culture. They don't have a way of life. They don't have a language. So it's not to punish or anything, but you can learn. You can learn your language. You can learn your commitment to Nikah, purification, Humblecha, vision quest, and the sun dance. Because our mother and grandmother rotates around the life giver, the Sampetui, the sun that gives us life. But it turns, so there's always a dark side. And that's what these governments talking about, corruption, the dark side, you know, and then eventually the sun is going to shine on that darkness and reveal it. That's the truth. So now we're at, all our nations that are at a perilous time now because of what science, men and women playing God, have done to the human DNA. They're manipulating that DNA now that they can create what our prophecies have told. There's going to be beings with no soul. So they're talking about designer babies now. So these are current events that are hitting us now, and we need to address them now. So if you go into a tribal government and you tell them this, a lot of them aren't worried about what's happening globally, or, you know, even this pandemic. They're not very much committed. They have to take a vote and support the emergency response. But to create a real emergency response protecting all your people and all the communities, that's what has to happen. So you have to have an elder from every community involved. And a Yabkaha, that's a spokesperson, man and woman, from each community. That's the basis what we're standing on now. That's the movement here with the four bands. It's to get back into our traditional governance, to honor our Chinupa Wakan that was given to us, to Tesawi. The woman brought that to it. We have to honor those things, because those are the things that are going to continue to walk into the Wanaki Chanku, they call it, you know, the spirit road. And that's where the young people are hungry for this. They're hungry for this knowledge, because we can point out to them that D.C. is basically the military watchdog on the planet. And you can tell that by the billions of dollars that's invested. Nobody talks about DARPA or these, you know, these dark projects for the military. Those need to be revealed, because that's a lot of money being spent. And there's children living in poverty. There's children that were caged up. That wasn't a great concern, you know, for a lot of the people here in America. You know, there's a lot of people that were fighting that, because there's children, indigenous children, caged up, and their parents were separated. That's the same, this continuing to do that, you know. So that's not justice. That has to be addressed too, the children, all children. Because war, it doesn't consider children or elders, and those are the ones that suffer the most in war, is the children and the elders, because they're defenseless. You know, and so there should be no war. There should be no nuclear war. And I'm glad that was diverted now, and that maybe we have some good years coming, and we need to take advantage of that. Because there's an element, a dark element on this planet. You can call it alien or foreign or whatever, but it's a small element that's trying to dictate on destroying this planet through scientific means and manipulation of the human body. And this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, this has been done before. And if you know the history and go back further and further and further back, and you see all of these petroglyphs and all of these pyramids and all of these sacred sites, we call them, because that's our connection. It all reveals this, you know, and it's being revealed now. All of these things are being revealed, so we have to understand what's being revealed, because that is our message, and our message needs to be clear now, you know, and our government should reflect that message. But you go to this IRA system because you have elected officials that really aren't up to par dealing with every issue on this planet, which our leaders, our elders, if you bring anything before them, they'll take time and they'll do what has to be done to understand that issue, and then they'll make a comment on that issue. And that's where we're dropping the ball, because we're not utilizing our way of life, our ceremonies, our chanupa, our vision quest. We're not seeking that vision. Our leaders aren't doing that. Our leaders are doing that, but the elected officials aren't doing that. They're not seeking. They're not being humble and crying out to the Creator for guidance. It's obvious because, you know, if a cow is more important than a child that's hungry or an elder that's being abused and hungry, and you know, you're not doing nothing about it, and continuing the poverty, the hunger, the suffering, you know, your priority is not right, you know. So, like I mentioned, the beaver. You have a white man that would make money off of that beaver, and he's got an unlimited, he can trap as many as he wants till they're non-existent, they're extinct. That's the mindset right here on the reservation. We need to deal with that because that's a keystone species. Once they build a dam, all the other species thrive. Medicines, everything thrives. You know, even the prairie dog, there's a medicine called that, prairie dog medicine. And that's what it needs to be in the holistic part of it, the mind, body, spirit. It's all indigenous knowledge. That's what is going to save our people, you know, and that's the government that we need to rely on, because there's no corrupt elections. You can look at the United States for corrupt elections. There's no corrupt laws because you're under the Creator and you rely on the Creator for your decision making. And that's traditional. That's the way our people followed our spiritual leaders, because they were in direct contact with the Creator. That's how we guide. That's who our leaders were. That's who guided us, you know, our family, our extended family. And that's where the power is at. And that's what needs to be restored. But like what he was saying, they brought this foreign dictate into our homelands. And all people are suffering on this planet. You know, it's not just us. It's got to a point now that we're at a cliff now. And I remember back in the 70s when the American Indian Movement woke us up as young teenagers. It woke us up and be proud of who we are, you know. We're distinct people on our own homeland, you know. We were forgetting that. But through that Wounded Knee too, you know, we got pride in our language, pride in who we are, you know. And we revived our spiritual ways because of that movement. A couple of people had to die, you know, but it restored some of our basic human connection that makes us who we are, you know, and it strengthens our spirit. So that's where we're at. We need to strengthen our spirit. We need to know who we are, and the history that I know you have and a lot of our people have, it needs to be out there. You know, we need to support each other. We need to get our traditional governments going, and we're in that process now of reviving, renewing, regenerating our government, relying on our elders. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Thank you. We've got two callers from area code 505-313 and 630. Would you guys like to come on and say your name, tribal affiliation, and the state you're calling from?
Hello, this is Gabriel Reyes, calling from Illinois. Just one of the callers. I don't know if the other callers want to come on.
Other callers, 505-630 or 313?
Well, 505 is Etta.
Hi,
from,
Etta.
Nair Nation.
Would you like to say something?
Good evening, everybody. I'm thankful to hear the young gentleman that actually talked about a lot of different pointers that everybody needs to hear. And I just encourage a lot of young people to keep doing what they're doing and keep doing their research on a lot of the way things are handled that we're learning, we've experiencing, that, you know, every tribe has their different leadership, which they vote for in office. But really, the biggest problem we have is they don't really know the principle of the federal Indian law. And it's really a lack of knowledge. And we have some young people that come home, but our laws are different. That's the way things are within the Navajo Nation, because the laws are different once they go to school off and they come back, and you know, things are, they're trying to figure out where they need to fit in, and there's not enough of anything, and as far as helping out our young people. So we just have to keep encouraging them to know our treaty rights. And I think everybody needs to read their treaty, because, you know, we do have three treaties on as the Navajo Nation, and they're not paying attention to the treaty of, you know, besides the treaty that we have, that's, you know, after the Long Walk, but there was treaties before that too. So we really need to encourage our young people to keep doing what they're doing, that are, you know, out there. So because they're the ones that are our generation that's going to live into this world. And I think we really need to keep our eyes and keep on top of things about this treaty. And I'm just very, 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 it's a very, very touchy issue with somebody in the Interior of Secretary that's not a treaty tribe. You know, as I heard, you know, there are people that are afraid that they want to wipe out that. And so, you know, everybody has to keep on their toes and keep on top of things. That's all I can say. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Grandma Edka. Christine, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. I was just listening. Christine from New Mexico. No, not right now.
Okay, thank you. Jabril, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I'd like to say good evening, everybody. Hello to everybody. This is Jabril Salam from Detroit, Michigan, of the Independent Chattahoochee Nation. And it's an honor to be on the show and hear everybody speak and give their perspectives and share the knowledge and information with us. Sitting here with a couple of good brothers here from Detroit, Michigan, and we were having some discussions pertaining to indigenous people and our plight and Aboriginal people's our plight here on Turtle Island, how we can rectify some of these issues that we have for our sustainability, family, and how we will proceed into the future. And what will be the future for our children and our grandchildren. And we try to assert our rights, because as they have told us in so many courtrooms, if you don't assert your rights, you don't have any rights. And we live amongst the people who they still live a savage practice. and they haven't learned to cohabit and co-mingle and live in peace with other people of our great planet of Auntie Makah, Mother Earth. And so we have to figure out how to make life good for ourselves now, today, and for the future for our children. And moving in ignorance and moving ununified, we wind up in bad places. How did they take our country? How did they take the land from us or put us in this position of a ward of their state? Because they have created a state for themselves, and in their constitution it reads on the very first page that they are in pursuit of liberty, good welfare. And let me just think for a second. It reads something to the tone of, "We the people," is how they started out. And when you read it, you would think they were talking about everybody, because when the Six Nations Confederation introduced them to this way of life, and they picked up our way of life and our way of practicing law and so forth, the Confederation and the and what they built the Constitution off of, they started out, "We the people." And it sounds very inviting and promising. "We the people of the United States," let's see what it said, "in order to form a more perfect union and establish justice and domestic tranquility and peace, and provide for the common defense and promote general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty," they said in the next breath, "for ourselves and our posterity," and speaking of them and their children, and trying to establish the Constitution for the United States of America. And then in that first article, they went further down and talked about who could hold office and who could vote and so and so, and who was eligible. And then they said, excluding Indians, non-tax, three-fifths of all other persons. And then in their law, they created all these fictions through the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Curia. They created all these commercial fictions to make money off of. So they took all of our names and all of our positions. First, they said we was non-human. We weren't human. We was only three-fifths of a human. And they couldn't tax us. Why? Because we wasn't of that group of "we the people." They didn't consider us to be people. And then they said all other persons, they made a law, which they call it laws, but they don't have laws. They have statutes, acts, and codes. And it says that we, that three-fifths of a person, they changed that word "person" to everything except for a human being. If you look it up, office of the person, the description of that person is everything commercial except for a man and a woman. So they want to create all these things to exclude the people of Earth, to exclude the human family. And they always talk about all these rights and treaties and agreements, this and that. They honor no treaties. Out of 500 plus, maybe 1,000 treaties they made between 1800 and 1900, between 17 and 1900, they made all these treaties. They honor none of them. Not one. Treaty of Tripoli, the Berber treaties, international treaties they made with other people, treaties they made with us here, with all our different nations. How did they take our country? Writing paper, pen and paper, because they knew we didn't use pen and paper. So they told a bunch of lies on pen and paper, excluding everybody who were Earth people for themselves. So what make us think that they are going to be fair and just to us? You gave us bad food that shortens our lifespan. You took us off the land, away from the forest and away from the plains and away from the buffalo and away from the deer and the elk. And you want us to live in these little small fenced-in things, corrals and jails, demoralized, dehumanized, never calling us human. The black people, you turn them civil rights, they only have a right of color. They don't have a political status. The Indian, he don't have a political status. So all the people, there's only one way out for us, and that's to go back to what the Creator gave us. Creator gave us a way of life. He gave us honesty. He gave us truth. He gave us wisdom. He gave us the custodianship of Auntie Maka, of the grandmother earth. We are the custodians and the custodians of each other. Our biggest problem that I see, and I could be wrong, is our unity. We're not together. And we don't stand independent, stand on our own feet. We don't need somebody else to come from outside to feed us. We know how to feed ourselves. We know how to clean ourselves. We know how to raise our children. We know how to do everything. If we didn't, then why are you trying to be us? Why are the people trying to be like us, unlike every other nation except for what the Creator gave them? Because they abandoned it. They abandoned their way, their song, their prayer, their community. They abandoned all that. So what is we keep discussing independence. What is independence? In the Constitution, and I challenge everybody to get one. Just call to any senator, any federal office, and tell them you want a Constitution. Read that thing carefully. They talk about you in there in a couple of places. They call us merciless savages. They complain in the back where the amendments is, and they talk about that the British have brought on the inhabitants of the frontier, and they are merciless Indian savages whose known warfare is to destroy everything, you know, and everybody. We just slaughter children, women, old folks. We just destroy it all. Like, we're not compassionate people. We're the most compassionate people on the planet. What are you talking about? But it was the takeover. And in that last part in that book, they say they talking to the British. And everything that they accused the British of, they did to us. If you read it and you read that, you'll see everything that they accused them of doing, that they turn around and did it to us. They were doing it to us. They're still doing it to this day. And they say in there that your right is to be a free and independent state. They were talking about themselves at the time, but they are telling you, the white man is saying right there in that little book, in that document, that your right as a human is to be free and independent. So unless we enjoy being a ward of their state, like an orphan kid or something, then we stay in this position. Federally recognized, I don't want you to recognize me. Why? Because that makes me a dependent. If I take something from you, then you want to enslave me. I don't want to be your slave. We let you come here to our country as a refugee. We took them in as refugees. They still refugees to this day. If you stop giving to them, they'll straighten up and want to sit down and talk then. But so long as we keep buying their cars, paying for their travel, buying their Learjets, paying for their fancy hors d'oeuvres and their champagne and their big houses and all the things that they like, we pay for all of that. All the working people, all of us indigenous people, that federal recognition makes you a commercial store. United States government, what they call government, territorial, municipal, there is no more municipal. They just come out of bankruptcy, and that was dissolved. That's why all the courts and all these other places closed, and this corona thing is their cover-up. And I hope y'all listening. They're fighting inside now, infighting. They're in their house fighting. Those two, they're two parties, which are there, both two brothers, one of the same people, and they're fighting, and all our people, oh, they're getting involved. That's not our fight. Our fight is to secure ourselves, our people, our land, claim it back. If you study and read the information, and anybody who wants it, I'll send it to you. They have a thing called allodial title, and they have another which is aboriginal title. Aboriginal title is the Indian title. It cannot be extinguished. They say it themselves. We're in this predicament because we agreed. We gave them consent to do this to us because we agreed. And we still agreeing. Well, I don't agree. I agree with independence. And in order for us to move our people to independence, first we got to get our heads wrapped around what the independent structure is and how do we implement it. How do we disconnect from that suckling and stand on our own and start eating solid foods again? It's like a baby sucking on that udder on that tit, you know, just drinking milk, and we so dependent on it, we don't want to let it go. We have to wean ourselves from that and then come back to our way, come back to the old way, the red road, the straight road, the narrow road. That's the only way we're ever going to be free. Otherwise, we're going to stay subservient to corruption and corrupt people, and we'll die this way. Their elders, they're knocking our elders off with this virus, and because their system is weak. I'm an herbalist. I'm an herb doctor. I'm the root doctor. I talk to the plants. The plants talk to me. When I walk past the plant talk to me. I hear it. I hear what it says, and it tells me if it's poison, if it's edible, and I research it, and I learn. This is what the elders taught me coming up. My wife and I, this is how we make our living. Go back to Mother Earth. Creator gave us everything we need. Everything is from the earth. It's there. But they duped us away from that knowledge. We had all that knowledge. So we have to relearn, reaffirm. Go to those who know. Get this knowledge. Make sure our children have this knowledge. How to heal themselves. How to feed themselves. Like our brother just was saying. People don't know how to hunt no more, don't know how to fish no more, don't know how to build no more, don't know how to grow anything. So we have to relearn, retrain ourselves so that we can all stand up again. And then we have to go to every tribe, every community, every nation, and advocate for us to come back together as one family. You know how many Indians in this country? Millions. If we come back together, we can stand strong. But as individuals, they're going to keep running over us. So, independence is our way. Self-determination is our way out. Neither international treaties. The International Treaty on Human Rights said that everyone have a right to sustainable food, to work, to have a job, to have a living, to have a right of space, to all those things which is in our customary way. All the world has come together, different 170 countries have come together and agreed that this is the right of the human being for everybody. But unless we assert that right and we enforce it, they're going to take it from every time. So we got to get out of that commercial realm of them feeding us bad flour, bunch of sugar. So we got diabetes. We eating meat that is not wholesome. It's full of antibiotics and steroids and all this other stuff. And it's giving us cancer. The baby boomer generation, people of the 40s, 30s, 40s, well, 40s, 50s, 60s, and who were born in that time, they get all those inoculations and shots. They almost guaranteed to get cancer because of what they put in their bodies, mercury, mercury fillings in the teeth, mercury in the shots that they gave the vaccinations and stuff with. Most of those people along that line, they're going to come down with either colon cancer or colorectal cancer or stomach cancer or something like that, because those heavy metals in the body, and then eating putrid foods, eating foods that are nutrient deficient and are laden with chemicals, it makes a breeding ground, an acidic environment, and a breeding ground for disease. Before we were corralled on reservations and in these cities and these so-called projects and so forth, we used to eat fresh food, fresh turnips. We go all along the river to get fresh vegetables and out of the mountains, fresh squash and nuts and beans and corn, fresh meat. We were healthy. Wasn't nobody fat and out of shape. Before we had so many horses, we walked. You know, how much walking we do nowadays? We ride everywhere, sit on a chair. Everything is on a chair. Go home, sit on a chair. Get in the car, sit in the chair. Go to the office, sit in the chair. We become sedentary. So what happens? It destroys the body. It wasn't created just to sit on a chair. We're created to move. In our body is a system. It's called the endocrine system. And that's the system, the glandular system. In your head, the pineal gland, you got three glands in your head, you got glands in your upper part of your head, you got glands in your throat, you got glands in your thyroid, your thymus, you got glands under your arms and in your hip joints and in your knees and in your ankles. Well, they all connected to a tubular system, and they have a fluid, but that fluid doesn't have a pump like the circulatory. The heart pumps the blood, moves the blood, but those other fluids only move by your movement. When you get up and you move, your locomotion pushes that fluid around to those glands. We were made to move like the river, like the stream, like the waterfall. So we have to go back to those old ways, those old teachings. We have to pick it back up and go forward. And we have to unify. We have to bring family back into existence. We have to embrace the other tribes. Those are our families. All the people are all family. Human beings are actually one big family, the human family. So we have to re-embrace all of our people again and start to pull together. And I'm so grateful that this show and other shows like it, where people are coming together and people are waking up and becoming more cognizant of their position here on the planet and becoming more connected in this spiritual awakening, that we must stand in opposition of corruption and filthy things and must stand to protect in defense of things which are righteous and clean.
Okay, Jabril, yes. I got to interrupt real quick. We've got 5 minutes left of the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get long-winded when I start talking. And I'm very honored and very grateful, Leona, to be on the show. And thank you, everybody. And I yield it back. Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Good stuff, Jabril. Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to hear all you guys. Can't wait to see everybody.
I know, right?
Right on.
Okay, Bryce, do you want to say something? We've got 5 minutes and 13 seconds left in the show.
I wonder, Devin. Devin.
I don't know where he went. His call dropped.
Hey, can I introduce you guys to somebody? Just say hello, brother. He's acting shy now. He has a radio show, too, and next week I'm going to try to get him on with us. His name is Ramzu Yunus, and he's one of the people who here in our area, he advocates for self-determination and independence, and we've made an alliance with him and his group, And I just want to introduce him to everybody. Say hello, brother.
Greetings, everyone. Thanks
hello.
For the show. I don't have much to say. I'm just listening in
hello.
To y'all. I agree with the movement. Of course, our movement is for self-determination of all peoples on the earth. So we're uniting with people who stand for self-determination. That's the only thing that can liberate people. That's the only principle that people have liberated themselves upon. So I'm just listening to the show and uniting with all people who stand for that. So I'm just here listening. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you. We've got 3 minutes left in the show. Bryce, do you want to close with us on?
Yeah. Thank you. And I know we have a lot of ways, every nation on this planet. And we're here on this land, our people are the originals. They try to scientifically say this and that, but every time they find some DNA on this land, it blows those white anthropologists, it blows those scientists away. But I want to ask for everybody to, these COVID cases are going down now. We got 25 active cases here in South Dakota on the Cheyenne River Reservation, and we want to have it zero out now. We don't want this virus here anymore, so I really ask everybody to put it in their heart and mind and spirit to let's ask hard and that this virus be gone now. And it doesn't have no power. It has a spirit that has to die, which it will, and we'll be free from this virus.
Oh,
I'll sing a song. Wakanka tukasela nieho ye waelo ai wakanka tukasela nieho ye waelo. Daku wa kaha nami ke honge lo ai chuka shila wa kaha ka ni ho ye wa ye lo ai chuka shila Wakantanka niye ho ye wa ye lo daku wakan nami che hong ye lo ai pilamalo.
Thank you. We've got 90 seconds left in the show. Or 1 minute and 5 seconds.
Yeah, Pelama Yellow. Thank you, Bryce. Love that. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I want to say a prayer to get a few seconds. I'll bless the Shaykh and the Jimmy Snow. Thank you, everybody, and have a good night.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next Friday.
Next Friday. Thank you.
All right. Good bro.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Talk to you.